What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Bob, news broke earlier today, the passing of Bob Uecker, just a legendary baseball figure. Did you have interactions with him?
Couple of times, yeah. Just briefly. I mean, didn't know him very well other than at the games where when he was in town with Milwaukee. And just a fun, loving guy. And would engage you, you know. Just I go up, introduce myself, tell him big fan. Then he starts asking a little bit about what I do. Very cordial, very funny. Used to love to hang out with Steve Blass.
Oh, really?
And with those two, you never know where you're going to get the stories.
Oh,
where
wow.
Steve's one of the best storytellers there is. And then he is too. So you can imagine sitting on a deck at night, maybe having a little drink and listening to those two chirp.
Where would you rather be? Did you say you had that experience?
No? I'm saying wouldn't that be nice to sit there?
Oh my God, yes.
I play golf a lot with Steve over the years, and I heard a lot of great stories.
Oh, Mr. Baseball, yep, was his nickname. 90 years old. Brewers calling it one of the most difficult days in Milwaukee Brewers history. He had battled small cell lung cancer, I guess, since 2023. It says here, I didn't know him at all, but seemed like just a wonderful, kind, naturally funny man, right?
Very funny, naturally funny. And also would take stories. And his memory was really good from what I remember just a few times again, talking about things that happened, whether it was at Three River Stadium. He would remember sharply some of the details of it. But I think his delivery, his self-deprecating personality, and the way he talked about himself sometimes was really interesting.
When the Brewers won the NL Central last year, their manager, Pat Murphy, it says here, threw an arm around Uecker in the locker room and pulled him in tight as players white-knuckled the corks ready to pop the champagne. And he said, in the locker room, there is no one who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. And the players chanted, Uke. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive at his age, too. And I think the one thing about them, they understood the history of, and I think any player, really, you're making a mistake if you don't embrace the history of whatever organization you play for. You should know all about it. You should want to learn about it. And the people before you who played and maybe set standards are high, and Bob Uecker was one of those guys. So he was always very, very approachable. That's another thing I liked about him. You know, some guys get to be, oh, I'm Bob Uecker, I don't have time for you. He wasn't ever like that. He was always very approachable. Every time he would come in, if you'd see, he'd remember. He may not remember the name, but he'd remember engaging with you previously.
And then he became part of the culture through the Miller Lite commercials and through Major League, right? And through Johnny Carson all the time.
It's his personality.
Yes.
You know, it was just self-deprecating.
Best seat in the house when he was at the top of the stadium.
Yep.
So RIP, Bob Uecker. But I wanted to tell you, I teased ahead to Cam Hayward having something to say about the Steelers' game plan, and also Marlon Humphrey with some cryptic quotes about the Steelers. Here's the thing that still really bothers me about that game, and as everybody who listens knows, I thought it would be a close game. I thought it would be like almost every other Steeler-Ravens game. Silly me, I didn't know the Steelers were going to quit. And that's what really bothered me about that game. And Kirk Herbstreit spoke to it in the first half, saying, where the hell is the fight? These are the Pittsburgh Steelers. It seemed like from the quotes coming out of that locker room late in the year, from Najee Harris saying after the game that, you know what? Teams that listen to the media, you know, you get broken up by that. We listen to the media. He basically told the world we're a fractured team. And it looked like it that day, Bob. One thing I would never, ever question about Mike Tomlin or his teams up till then was that Mike Tomlin is passionate about his work. And if he has a strength as a coach, his number one strength, I always thought, was as an underdog to get the guys going. You know what I mean? To be that type of leader that you want to follow through a brick wall.
And never let a season just completely go away and just, you know, disintegrate without a response. He always was, he was, and still can be that way, although this postseason is a little bit different.
That was the first time in all my years of watching Tomlin Steelers that I sensed that a team had quit on him in that Baltimore game.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go that far. It looked that way. What I will say was they were out-coached and out-schemed, and that can make you look like you're quitting.
That can. That's true. But then you look at a quote like the one that I'm seeing here from Marlon Humphrey, these cryptic quotes that I saw on, I think it was Steelers Depot here, under the headline on Steelers Depot. Ravens cornerback hints Steelers have, quote, underlying locker room issue. He's buddies with Patrick Queen. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Elliott. We know that, right? Might have listened to Deshaun Elliott's quotes after the game. This is Marlon Humphrey on his Punchline podcast on YouTube. He says, the team, the Steelers, to me, if you look just based off of what I very teeny bit know, and based off what I feel like I've seen how it is, I feel like there's an underlying thing there somewhere internally that reminds me of the Jets' current situation, Humphrey says. I see quotes from Jets players. It seems like they're trying to speak in code. There's something they want to say and just can't say. There's a couple times I read Jets quotes, Humphrey says, from certain players, and it's like, yeah, nobody wants to dog somebody. You really can't tell the media what's going on. But it seems like kind of how the Steelers played in that game against us, .. quote, and I know something that I ain't gonna say.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay. What are we supposed to make of that?
Did you watch the game? Have you heard the quotes from Elliott?
I know something. That last part. I'm asking you. What does that mean?
That means that there's I interpret that as there's some sort of dissension, bickering. Tomlin.
He was asked about.
He was defended the bickering. Yeah. Oh, it's a good thing. It didn't look like it on the field. I have never seen a Steelers team quit on their coach.
No, they quit on him the other night.
That's what it looked like to me.
The finger pointing was very apparent, and the out of position was very apparent. Lack of communication was very
getting
apparent.
Getting run over was very apparent.
Yeah, all of it. And again, when you know that that team is lining up as if they're going to run every play, and yet you employ a defense that's more nickel suited than trying to stuff and, you know, put people in the box to stop what they're about to do, and you should have done that. They didn't have Zay Flowers. Yeah, they had some weapons on the tight end spot, but they weren't going to go in that direction.
For sure. And you're right. It can look like a team is quitting when they're that badly out-schemed. But, man, for a guy who obviously knows very well people inside that Steeler defense,
well, there's no question
room,
that's alarming to hear.
When he says, I know something I ain't going to say, and it's prefaced by, I feel like there's an underlying thing there somewhere internally that reminds me of the Jets' current situation. What the hell is he talking about, limits?
Oh, I mean, Patrick Queen and Deshaun Elliott, being friends with them, have definitely said something that he just wants to tease it out there to try to get somebody to bite at and maybe somebody else will report or create more speculation and doubt in the Steelers' locker room. I'm with you, though, that could be part of it, too.
I mean, he sees an opportunity to knock him back even further, and he's going to take it.
I'm with you. They, at points, especially defensively, I think gave up in that game, where they just did not want any piece of Derrick Henry on a cold day in Baltimore.
And Patrick Queen was one of them, and I know he was sick.
I was stunned watching it. However, what you say, Bob, I think there's a lot of truth to. And that's where this do we have the Hayward stuff limits, or should we tease to that?
Yeah, we got it.
Let's see. What is this from?
This is from his podcast, Not Just Football.
So this speaks to what you were speaking of, Bob, and what we all saw. And we can decide whether this is Cam ripping the game plan or throwing anyone under the bus or just stating the obvious here.
There were some things that were different we hadn't done. And you try to stop one and then the other goes off. I just, you know, trying to stop all, let the not us not stopping anything. Throughout it all, it just felt like we never really got a chance to, you know, take anything from the game. And then it kind of just opened up, you know, Pandora's box for what could go wrong in that game.
So he's talking about, you know, basically the defensive game plan there. And the key to me in that quote was that they changed what they had done against Lamar. They were the one team that had success against him. Why change?
Well, clearly, but you know, judging by what especially T.J. Watt did, they were talking about getting after Derrick Henry at all costs.
Yeah, and they were challenging Lamar to beat them on the ground.
But well, they shouldn't. They should be aware of that because when it happened the last time, they controlled him in every time they've played him, they've done a good job of keeping him in contain, so he wasn't that factor. Now, Derrick Henry gives them a different dimension. I understand why you'd want to take it away, but it's not like a normal quarterback. It's one thing to have Derrick Henry with an average quarterback who never runs, then fine, you can do that all you want because that guy ain't going to take off. But you got to respect his legs. And it wasn't like he wasn't running coming into this game. He still had almost 900 yards rushing on the year, or over 900.
Right.
So he was as viable a threat as Derrick Henry was. You have to put all your people up front, stop it at all costs. If they beat you down the field, so be it. That's the way I would have gone after that game. But never before in his career has he had as many RPO runs in a row as he did in this game.
And never before had a Steeler team allowed that many yards to somebody in a playoff game, talking about Henry.
Right.
So, yes, give credit to the Ravens, but I know I'm not the only one who saw that and felt that. My God, Kirk Herbstreit do we have that clip? Limits?
Pony came in here and interrupted me again.
In the middle
back
of the
back
show.
Back-to-back days.
Okay. I think you should go on that show for a couple of days.
He came in and said that I'm a major topic on his show today.
Why? What did you do?
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Is he talking about you stealing the thing at Duquesne?
What did I steal at Duquesne?
A Rice Krispie treat.
The Rice Krispie treat.
Joe, that's a Rice Krispie treat. They probably have a bunch left over they're going to throw away.
I'm kidding, give them
Bob.
A dollar.
I'm kidding on the Rice Krispie treat, for God's sakes.
But you keep
Why are you
it?
A major topic?
That Pony wouldn't tell me. I don't know. I guess we'll just have to listen. That's a good old-fashioned radio tease.
Did you do something untoward on camera last night at the Duquesne game? I was sitting right next to you.
No, you were next to me the whole time.
I thought you behaved yourself. Yeah.
I did. You were more wild up than me.
Bob, this is interesting. How does he become a major topic on that show?
I don't know, but that's a tease now for people to tune in at 2 o'clock, and you'll find out.
It sure is. That game the other day really left me with almost a sick feeling. The fact that the Steelers didn't show up for a playoff game in Baltimore.
Yeah, they were.
And the reason why is they were either completely out-schemed, outclassed talent-wise, and, you know, out-efforted in the game. And like I said, that's what I meant to tell you, Limits. Bring up that Kirk Herbstreit clip that all of America heard in watching the Steelers. I mean, it was mind-blowing to hear it, Bob, but he said it.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Jarring.
And it was accurate.
And Kirk Herbstreit, I think, is a very smart guy in terms of how he breaks down games. If he thought it was simply a matter of X's and O's, then he would have said it. But there was no emotion whatsoever. None visible at all. It was like they knew they were doomed and were just going to their slaughter quietly. It was so strange. I mean, if you respect this franchise, and I do respect the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers greatly, this was one of their ultimate humiliations, just watching that thing unfold. And yet it appears the biggest fallout from it will be like getting rid of what, the running backs coach? I mean, it's just... And that's why I say, yeah, I guess it was unacceptable to everybody, but in what action is it being unacceptable going to be played out? With what kind of action? I don't know. That's the thing.
That's the thing. And we'll see. He said lots of changes on lots of levels. We'll find out what those are.
What does
are.
That mean to you, Mr. P? What do you think we're going to see this offseason?
Changes? Probably one positional coach. And a couple of new players, and they'll consider that their change. Maybe Justin Fields being a quarterback will be their big change. No more Cam Sutton, everybody. That's their huge change in the secondary.
Yeah, that'll be big.
I don't see.
I think that was also
Austin's
a personal.
Gone.
That kind of him playing that day over Beanie Bishop. I'm sorry. I'd rather go with a young, hungry guy as a rookie who played pretty well and did more things than Cam Sutton did. You know, I mean, that was kind of a. I don't even know why he was brought back.
What kind of takes have you had lately, Limits, that would lead to you being a major focal point of the afternoon show? The last time you were like in their lead segment was when you said that Steelers fans have more respect than hate for the Ravens.
Yeah,
remember that?
And remember that Ben and John Harbaugh on Hard Knocks, everybody says that, you know, we hate these guys, but we respect them.
What have you said lately that's a hot take that they may have seized upon?
Maybe moving on from Tristan Jarry was the right deal. That wouldn't be it. I'm scrolling through my Twitter timeline.
Bob, has he said anything that incendiary lately?
I've always been a huge anti-Tristan Jarry person.
No,
I never thought he was the guy.
No, it's got to be Steeler related.
It has to be. Maybe it's that I think that they should tank, well, not tank, but, you know, lose as much as possible this year and have this is probably what it is. The draft is here next year in 2026, that the Steelers should draft their next franchise quarterback during that class, which is going to be a loaded quarterback class.
When did you say that?
I said it on Twitter yesterday.
Oh.
Got 1,000 likes.
That's it.
That's probably it.
That's it, Bob. How about a rousing game of cut him, keep him, trade him, sign him?
Let's
do
it.
Would you like to play that?
We've been teasing that all day. That'll be the top of this hour, which we're at right now.